This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. American hostages released from North Korea.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The trip to North Korea appears to be a major success. President Trump announcing the release of three Americans. They've been detained in North Korea. The men now on an airplane headed back to the U.S.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Three Americans who have been detained for some time in North Korea are on their way home right now, and the president very happy about it, tweeting just a few minutes ago, quote, "I am pleased to inform you that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in the air and on his way back from North Korea with the three wonderful gentlemen that everyone is looking so forward to meeting. They seem to be in good health."
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, a lot to talk about, and that is because major announcement, and that is three American hostages being held by North Korea have been released. Mike Pompeo went over, as the president announced the Iran situation yesterday, Mike Pompeo went over to North Korea, and the end result of that was that what we have is a tremendous win, and that is these three individual American citizens have been released from North Korea. This is a what's called a confidence-building measure. This is, again, a huge diplomatic precursor, if you will, to the negotiations that are going to go on. But anytime you get Americans out in a situation like this, Wes Smith, this is a good thing.
It is. Two of these gentlemen were university professors. One was a Christian pastor. Certainly, this is a goodwill gesture on the part of North Korea. Also, some of the people in the former administration, the Obama administration, were trying to say that yesterday's announcement concerning the Iran nuclear deal was going to have a negative impact on this negotiation with North Korea. And I think Pompeo's trip, the release of these Americans, certainly indicates that that is not the case, that all systems are still go as far as the planned summit between Kim and Trump.
Yeah, so this they've got locations and a date selected that just hasn't been announced yet. Than, what's the reaction in Washington to this right now?
Yeah, quite simply, Jay, the maximum pressure strategy is working. I mean, the end goal here is positive relations with North Korea, and this is a huge stride in the right direction. You called it a confidence-building measure. It's certainly that, Jay, but I want to remind our listeners of one thing here. We knew all along the President of the United States was responsible for this strategy. He needed people to help carry him out. Secretary Pompeo, we got him confirmed. He went over to North Korea, and Jay, he came back with the prisoners. There's only one conclusion: maximum pressure and then diplomacy to follow up on it. Jay, it works.
Yeah, this is a big deal, and it's a big result. And again, we want your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about Iran. There's just a lot to talk about. So you've got two major areas of contention in the world right now: Iran and, of course, North Korea. And the president pulls out of the North Korea situation, pulls out of the Iranian so-called JCPOA, and this is the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. So we're out of that, which was a disaster to start with. And at the same time, Mike Pompeo was landing in North Korea and ends up securing the release of the three Americans. And we just had his confirmation, as Stan said, just a little bit ago. And now, Logan, understand that they've been returned, I guess, to Japan at this point, or they're doing stops along the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a direct flight, but they are, I believe, out of the country. So let's see what's happening, what the latest is, and we'll continue to update you. Phone lines are open right now for your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now, again, at 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. You can also get your comments in online. Tweet us at Jay Sekulow, and we'll get some of your comments on the air or during the breaks. And again, that is on Twitter. You can do that at twitter.com/JaySekulow, where you can get your tweets in right now. But again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684.
Yeah, three Americans released. Kim Hak-sung is age 55. He worked at the University of Pyongyang, University of Science and Technology, which is largely funded by Christian groups in the United States. We also have, so he's one of the individuals that was relieved. Kim Sang-duk, also part of the university, has also been released. His hostile acts, by the way, was helping orphans. This is what happens in these countries. And Kim Dong-chul, age 64, has been held since October 2015. He's now been released and has been returned, and they're on their way to the United States. So big development, positive development. We'll take your calls on this and pulling out of the Iran deal. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more. A lot of breaking news when we return in just a moment. Again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Be back with more in just a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to the securing of the release of three Americans held in North Korea, what's called a confidence-building measure, a CBM, a confidence-building measure before the negotiations take place. Getting those Americans home helps a lot in how you deal with diplomacy. So that's a positive development. The president also pulls out of the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action with Iran. President Obama not too happy about it. He said this was disastrous. It was working well. It wasn't working at all, by the way. Wes Smith is a senior advisor on our military, senior analyst for our military affairs, and has served in the region as a colonel in the United States Army. And let's talk, you wrote a number of weaknesses of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. By the way, we'll take your calls on Iran. We'll take your calls. What do you think about the president getting the three Americans that were held hostage in North Korea out? 1-800-684-3110. But you pointed out a number of the problems that existed with this. And by the way, Merkel and Macron also acknowledged problems, although they were, you know, not happy that the United States pulled out. I am happy that the United States pulled out. I think we sent the right signal that we're not leading from behind on this, especially in the geopolitical situation that could be existing here. But go ahead, Wes.
Yeah. There are a lot of weaknesses in the JCPOA. Chief among them, of course, is that we gave them concessions and aid up front and cash, which is, oddly enough, what we've done with Korea for the last 30 years, and it hasn't worked out so well. President Obama did not learn from that experience, so we gave them a lot of concessions up front. But the JCPOA allowed self-inspection of suspicious and or civilian nuclear sites in Iran. There was a prohibition against inspecting any military sites in Iran, which is the perfect place to hide a nuclear weapons program. There was a relief of sanctions on the front end, as I said. And, of course, the JCPOA did not address Iran's ballistic missile program or the fact that they are exporting terrorism throughout the Middle East and North Africa. None of those were addressed in this agreement. It was a weak, flawed agreement all the way around.
Now, the United States is out of it. It doesn't mean the Europeans are going to change theirs, but we're going to put in, the president says he's going to put in the toughest sanctions we can, and I believe that's going to draw the Iranians back to the table. And for the people of Iran, this was not aimed at the people of Iran. This was aimed at the Iranian regime. Here is President Rouhani's reaction. Take a listen.
Tonight, the Americans announced that they have pulled out and they have withdrawn from the JCPOA. And in fact, it was an emphasis on what they have been doing in the past months. So since the signing of the nuclear deal till today, when has the United States ever adhered to its commitments?
Now, this is from Rouhani. Okay, now, this great deal that President Obama negotiated allowed the Iranians to self-inspect. I mean, so those days are done for the United States. And our allies know there's problems with this. And our regional allies in the Middle East are very happy with the U.S. reaction. Let me play for you what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say about this. This is the Israeli prime minister. When the announcement was made by President Trump, here's his reaction.
That President Trump did an historic move. And this is why Israel thanks President Trump for his courageous leadership, his commitment to confront the terrorist regime in Tehran, and his commitment to ensure that Iran never gets nuclear weapons. Not today, not in a decade, not ever.
So there you have it. And that's Israel's reaction. Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia also wanted us out of the Iran deal. So there you have it, and we are. All right, we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Than for a moment here. We got a, you know, we went back on the air live yesterday when this news broke. What is the reaction you're hearing from Congress as it relates to, first tell us the reaction on North Korea. I'm sure that's very positive. What about on Iran? Let's talk with Iran first.
Okay, on Iran first. Honestly, Jay, a lot of it's on party lines at this point. You had Speaker Ryan, who actually argued for the president to stay in the deal, come out and give a very strong statement supportive of the president's action, largely because of the specificity of how he's going about it, Jay. Of course, the Democrat leader of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was critical of it. But, Jay, I think for those who take a firm and long look at the memorandum that accompanied the president's decision, I think you're seeing people on both sides of the aisle who are supportive of it for this reason, Jay. The president has directed the relevant secretaries to immediately begin all of the sanctions that were suspended in relation to the JCPOA. But, Jay, he's done it in a way that specifically directs the secretary to make sure that it is Iran that feels the impact of the sanctions, and not some of the businesses who have entered into doing business with Iran since they were allowed to do so. So if you go through the memorandum, and most of it's in Section 3, the way he's going about unwinding these waivers of the sanctions is very calculated. It's very careful. It's very intentional. And you're seeing, for the members who have gotten down into the weeds, Jay, they're supportive of the way he's going about it.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Robert in Maryland on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Hi, Logan. I wanted to ask the both of you, how quickly, now that the JCPOD has been pulled out by the United States by President Trump, how rapidly do you believe that the reinstituting of sanctions and any additional sanctions are going to have a major impact upon the mullahs in Iran to help prevent them becoming a nuclear power?
So that's a great question. So if you look at the order that the president signed, some are going to go into effect immediately, some 180 days. I mean, there's this kind of a window here. What's your view of that, Wes?
Yeah, there's a wind-down period, and Than can probably really speak to this. 90 days initially, on a case-by-case basis, 180 days, in order for companies who do business with Iran to have a chance to pull back from that. But in the meantime, the snapback sanctions will have an immediate effect on Iran's economy, which years ago, that's what brought them to the negotiating table, the fact that we had sanctions, of course, international multilateral sanctions, and it forced them to the table. And those were, of course, released as part of the JCPOA.
Yeah, so there you have it. I mean, I think that's – and Than, what's your sense of how the timing of this – this is a great question from Robert, how the timing of all this works.
Yeah, the short answer is effectively immediately, Jay. Here's the language from the president. He says the relevant secretaries shall immediately begin taking steps to reimpose all United States sanctions. But, Jay, you know this. I mean, sanctions don't go on like a light switch. You can turn them off easier than you can put them back on. So it is going to take some time, as Wes said. But look, here's the other relevant phrase from the president. He said these steps shall be accomplished as expeditiously as possible and in no case later than 180 days. So, Jay, he recognizes that some of them take some time to turn on, but he will not wait more than 180 days for them to take full effect.
Let me play for you what the president said about the nature of economic sanctions that are now going on the Iranian regime.
We will be instituting the highest level of economic sanction. Any nation that helps Iran in its quest for nuclear weapons could also be strongly sanctioned by the United States. America will not be held hostage to nuclear blackmail.
And those are really strong words. I think it's exactly the right tone to deal with this. What's your sense, Wes?
Yeah, this is peace through strength. This is leadership on the world stage. You know,
really not leading from behind.
No, and the media is making a big deal that there's somehow a rift between us and Germany, the UK, and France. There is no rift. They admitted these weaknesses.
Yes.
And the president yesterday in his announcement alluded to the fact that we are continuing conversations with the UK, France, and Germany about how to fix some of the weaknesses of the JCPOA, even though we're no longer in it. And to give you an idea of how serious that is, President Rouhani of Iran, because he knows that the UK and France and Germany are looking at it, said that if they change it, that Iran is still going to withdraw and they will start enriching uranium.
Which is exactly what you thought would happen.
Exactly.
But I don't think they're going to be able to do what they want to do because the United States isn't going to tolerate it. And that's just the nature of it. And the allies in the region, and there are lots of them, do not want a nuclear Iran. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back from the break in about 2 minutes. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to know your reaction to both the pulling out of the Iran JCPOA as well as the release of these hostages. I think that bodes well for the negotiations coming up in with Kim Jong-un. There's a location that's been selected. Don't know where that is. I don't know where that is. There's a date that's been selected. I don't know where that is either. But I do think that there is, it's clear that this is going to happen, at least at this point. And this was what's called a confidence-building measure by the North Korean regime by releasing these Americans. So we want your reaction to the president's diplomacy here, to Mike Pompeo, to the pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, so-called deal. Again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say this as we go into a break. We are still developing our case involving Pastor Andrew Brunson. We met this morning with our team, with Cece Hiles, a senior counsel at the ACLJ, who is handling that case. As I expected, the Turkish authorities are playing games with the judicial system and games with the judiciary, including allowing witnesses to testify that are not only convicted felons, but would have no credit. They were in jail when alleged activities took place by the pastor. And they've been held in Turkish prisons, and they're the ones that the Turkish authorities are putting forward. It is a sham, but as I said, we have to still prepare for it as if it's a trial so that on the world stage we can advocate for his release. We've now seen the release of three Americans out of North Korea. Let us all work together and pray for the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson from Turkey. North Korea is not a NATO ally. Turkey is. You ask yourself, why would we allow this to happen? Why would we allow this to stay in place? The answer is, in the United States of America, we should not. So all diplomatic options are on the table. All options should be on the table. The president, the vice president, the secretary of state know exactly what's at stake here. They're aggressively advocating for release. The United Nations Committee on Arbitrary Detention has accepted the case. That's very rare that they do that. They did. Turkey has to respond. But again, Turkey is playing a dangerous game with American citizen and with the United States of America. And we need to be praying for the release now of Andrew Brunson. Our work does North Korea. Great that we got those three Americans out. Still don't. And I have a release of the pastor in Turkey. We still keep the fight going. That's what we do. Back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at at ACLJ.org.
Newly confirmed ambassador to Germany, Rick Rennell, just tweeted this out. As at Real Donald Trump said, U.S. sanctions will target critical sectors of Iran's economy. German companies doing business in Iran should wind down operations immediately. Strong statement coming out from Ambassador Grinnell. And we're thrilled that he and Mike Pompeo are in place. And we have the release, which is very significant here, the release of three Americans held hostage in North Korea as a confidence-building measure. And I think that bodes well. All right, we're taking your calls. What's your reaction to all this? 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Jennifer, who's calling in L.A., in Los Angeles. You're on the air, line three.
Jay, I am absolutely overjoyed that the diplomacy with Mike Pompeo has released our American hostages, and especially because it silences the naysayers who said that in Trump's strong stance with Iran, which I totally agree with, negotiating different terms is just, I'm so hopeful that with prayer we can see the same results. And I know it's a much different tenure. I'm reading your book, Burning Bridges, and I want to recommend to everyone to read it because it's such an outstanding understanding of the shift in Turkey's, you know, diplomacy from once being friendly toward the West and now. So I just wanted to say I praise God that more Americans are coming home, and we are silencing the naysayers who said that we were going to affect. But I wish that the liberal media could just give truth instead of their viewpoint. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why we've got other outlets. And the fact of the matter is, and this is, I think it's important to understand this, that this was a great day for these three Americans and their families. And we remember all the other ones that are held captive. And that includes, as I said at the closing of the last segment of the broadcast, and that includes in Turkey with a NATO ally, Pastor Andrew Brunson, as we continue working for his release. But it's always good news when you have Americans released. Jennifer, thanks for calling, and we appreciate that. Then what's the reaction? I mean, you said there's got to be bipartisan support for the release of these Americans and the diplomacy that the president is engaging in and utilizing his Secretary of State on all of this. I mean, this is a very significant day for the United States in our relations with North Korea, and it certainly was significant with our situation with Iran as well yesterday.
Yeah, as it pertains to North Korea, Jay, the reaction here on Capitol Hill is universally and in bipartisan fashion a positive one, as it should be. Here's the bottom line, though. I mean, the North Korea model, which is what I call it, I think the president calls it the maximum pressure strategy. It works, Jay. I mean, when you don't give concessions, when you talk from a position of clear strength, and by the way, this is the other side of the coin, when you communicate to the leader of that country that if he cooperates, you want to improve relations with him. You're willing to talk to him, and I think he's taking that same strategy in Iran. Jay, when that's the strategy you use, it works around the world. It has historically. The United States walked away from it for a number of years. This president has returned to it. And, Jay, you're already seeing the results.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call, if we can. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Sam in California on line four.
Hi, Sam.
Yes, my problem was President Trump going back into an agreement with Iran is that we will lose credibility. And you as an attorney know that better. People can hold this case in the United Nations, reneging an agreement with the United States in the future, saying you did that in the past, and we can do that today.
What part of the agreement do you think was important for the United States?
I am not informed enough on the matter.
Okay.
I don't know what the agreement detail says, but just a minute, please. I don't know what the agreement says in detail. But the issue here is the credibility of the United States.
But under so just so you understand, Sam, under U.S. law, the president had to certify compliance with Iran periodically during the course of a year. It was coming up on May 12th. The president could not in good conscience certify that Iran was in compliance. And there was no way to determine if they were in compliance based on, West, the way in which the deal was structured. So, Sam, there was a United States law on the books regarding how this deal would be evaluated and reviewed. And the president had the affirmative obligation to make a certification or decertification. He decided to withdraw because he could not certify. Go ahead.
Well, not only that, President Obama, when he was working out this agreement, would not take it before the Senate. So it would become a treaty, have the legal force of a treaty.
Because it would never be passed.
It would have never been passed. And so really, in reality, President Trump is not walking away from a U.S. commitment. He is walking away from President Obama's commitment.
Yep.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying, politically, Than, I mean, the reality is there was an affirmative obligation on whoever's the president to certify or not.
Well, two things. First of all, Wes is correct about the treaty. Other countries of the world should look to Senate ratification. Otherwise, they should not trust agreements long term. But secondly, Jay, the vast majority of U.S. obligations under this deal, if you want to call it a deal, were all up front. Jay, we already gave them the cash. We already unfroze the assets. Yes, we lifted sanctions for a time. Those were not permanent. But if Rouhani and the rest of the world wants to say the United States is not living up to its obligations, guess what? We gave them 90% of what we promised under the deal on day one. It was already out the door.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, you need to understand the scope and nature of how President Obama was able to get this through in the first place, because that impacts directly what's happening here. Logan, I think we got time for one more question.
Okay, let's go to Pam in Pennsylvania on line one. Pam, you're on the air.
Hi, Pam.
Yes, thank you all for what you do. I love listening and being informed, and I'm thrilled that there's good news.
Yep.
I'm very thankful our president pulled out of the Iran deal, and thrilled about the release of the hostages. It just proves that strength and diplomacy works. It works.
No, and look, I mean, diplomacy, I say it often in this broadcast, diplomacy is war without violence. It's war without physical force. But the fact is that this was a successful diplomatic mission, both to North Korea, and I think what the president did in Iran also is going to bring Iran back to the table, and it's going to free up their people who have been opposing this regime, many for 40 years. There were millions of people on the street back in 2009. Don't forget that in Tehran. Then there was another uprising this year. The people of Iran, this is, none of these sanctions are aimed at the people. It's aimed at the regime. The regime is repressive. The regime is autocratic. It is an Islamist regime. They are the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. We don't need to be naive in that. This president is not, and you see as the end result of that, affirmative action taken. And our allies, including Germany and France and the UK, knew this deal was a disaster and had holes in it. And they wanted a patch up, and this president decided we're not patching it up, we're pulling away from it. And let me tell you something, the United States pulls away from it, Wes, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and the people of Iran have suffered since 1979. This theocracy, this rule in the name of Allah, has called untold suffering and the loss of freedoms in Iran. Most of the people that live there do not remember the old Iran, which had the legacy of the Persian Empire.
Exactly.
All they know is this hard, unmerciful, theocratic rule.
All right, so we're taking your calls coming up in the next half hour of the broadcast. We want to know your reaction to the pulling out of the Iran deal. Do you agree with the president? Do you disagree? And we had one of the disagreed early on the broadcast. We have free speech. It's fine to have that. 1-800-684-3110. And what about the release of the hostages? What do you think that means for North Korea, especially those that you have served in the military in the region of North Korea? Very helpful to hear from you, or South Korea, of course. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. You can talk to us, and we'll talk about both Iran and North Korea. We're here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know how you can get the rest of the broadcast, and then I've got a little announcement to make on our book.
That's right. We're broadcasting live right now at ACLJ.org, as well as on Twitter and Periscope. That's at Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, Periscope at Jay Sekulow. You can just find us. You'll see the verified pages. You can see we're broadcasting live for another half hour. If you don't get us on your local station, it'll be archived later on the ACLJ app, as well as on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Make sure you subscribe and follow all of those outlets, and go to ACLJ.org for a lot more information. But again, we're broadcasting live there and taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Our brand new book is out. It's called Jerusalem, the Biblical Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. This is literally hot off the presses. We got three copies. But TBN has a lot of them, so you can get it at tbn.org. That's where to get the book right now. But it's our latest book, my latest book on Israel and Jerusalem. You're going to want to get it. It's a great book, beautiful cover, but a well-documented defense for the Jewish state. And you can get that again at tbn.org. That's the only place you can get it right now. It'll be available in the bookstores in July, but also we'll have it available later as well. But go to TBN right now if you want a copy at tbn.org. Back with more in a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
Three Americans released from North Korea. Mike Pompeo went over there executing the president's initiatives. Confidence-building measure from the North Koreans. Very positive developments. They are in good health, apparently, on their way back to the United States. Obviously, Wes Smith is our senior military analyst. A very positive step as negotiations are about to take place in the weeks ahead with North Korea.
Yeah, I think it is a very positive step. And I think part of the reason that Secretary Pompeo went to Korea yesterday at the same time that the president was announcing that we were withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal was to get these hostages out, but also to talk with Kim Jong-un. And according to reports, he met with him personally again to assure him that us pulling out of the JCPOA with Iran has nothing to do with the good faith negotiations that we are proposing with North Korea. And I think that reassurance worked. Again, we have to wait and see how this all works out because North Korea has to be willing to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula in a way that is willingly denuclearizing completely and verifiably. So there's a lot of water to cross. But in the meantime, I think this good faith relationship is still off to a good start, as evidenced by the release of the three Americans.
Yeah, I think this bodes well for it. It's going to be tough negotiating. There's no question about it. But I can't imagine there's anybody in Washington right now saying this is a bad thing, Van.
No, there's not, Jay. And actually, I think I would take it even a step farther than Wes said. It's certainly a good sign, but I think it communicates very clearly to North Korea that this president will do what he says. When he issues a threat or a warning or a strategy, he will follow through on it. So, look, we said this at the very beginning, Jay. I mean, the president, the commander-in-chief, is responsible for setting the strategy, but then he needs to have people in the diplomatic field to carry that out and to speak with one voice. And you saw the president use Secretary Pompeo for that reason. I think Kim Jong-un got the message, and frankly, I think Iran gets the message too. When the president says he's going to withdraw, if they don't make proper adjustments to the deal, Jay, he's going to withdraw. He just did it.
And you know, it's being put out there very clearly that these sanctions are going into place immediately. Now, there's some of them that have to be phased in over a period of time, but not longer than 180 days. So there's a lot of this that's going on. John Bolton said the sanctions on Iran take place immediately. There's no new business under the existing deal, which is exactly what should be happening here, in my view. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're also getting some comments coming in. Logan, what do you want to do next? We got a little time here, so we can... Well, we'll hold off on the call, I think.
Yeah, Lily on Periscope said, does the release of these hostages bode well for the president's meeting? Can we move from cautiously optimistic to just optimistic?
What do you think, Wes?
I think so. I think there's all reasons to be optimistic. Again, a lot of water to cross. And, you know, when you go into these kinds of high-level negotiations, there are always surprises. But at this point, I think the people have reason to be proud of President Trump for what he's doing and of Secretary Pompeo, and to be optimistic that this could indeed accomplish what no president has been able to do since 1950, and that is to really turn around the situation on the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah, I think it's a bold move. As Wes said, it's fraught with danger along the way as far as what could happen. But the fact that the president has taken the bold initiative here to sit down with Kim Jong-un, no president's done that. With a North Korean leader like this. And to do this in a location that will be announced at a time that will be announced, I think, is extremely significant for the United States and very significant for the Korean Peninsula. And there's already been moves within North and South Korea. You're already seeing that, Wes, where they have ongoing dialogue going on right now.
Yes, they do. And they've actually allowed for there to be some contact between families that were separated by the DMZ.
Yep.
There is a lot of good faith gestures going on between South and North Korea and between the United States and North Korea. It's a time for true hope.
All right. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Three Americans released being held hostage in North Korea. The United States pulls out of the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which was neither a comprehensive or plan of action, in my view. And it's not joint anymore because the United States has pulled out of it. We want your reaction to all of this. You pleased with what the president's done? Where do you think this goes? We want your comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments. We come back from break. Logan's getting some comments coming in as well.
Yep, Marcus is going to be our caller coming up next. If you want to be a call too, give us a call. 1-800-684-3110.
You're announcing, you're pre-announcing.
Yeah, just letting him know. We're going to go to him next. But if you want to have your voice heard, give us a call. We also have another video playing. If you missed it earlier on Periscope, we got a video for you right now coming up online.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is our number, 800-684-3110. Joining us in the studios here in our media centers, Professor Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy, Colonel Wes Smith, Senior Military Analyst, and up in our studios in Washington, D.C. is Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Harry, let me go to the, I'm pulling out the Iran issue, JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which I said was neither a plan of action nor comprehensive nor any longer joint. But I want to get your reaction to it, the President's move here.
Well, first, Jay, we should work to ensure that Iran never gets a nuclear weapon. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. We should focus on a deal that actually works. And it is clear beyond question that the Iran nuclear deal, in a sense, was dead on arrival because it did not have verifiable inspections.
Which, you think about that for a moment. We were going to let, Wes, you're a military guy, we were going to let the Ayatollahs self-report.
And not only that, we were not allowed ever. They can't even report on them. The military sites, any military base in Iran was off limits, which is insane, because if you give people any place that's off limits to inspections, and they're as duplicitous and evil as the Iranian regime is, they are going to build nuclear weapons where you can't look. That seems to be common sense.
Listen to Chuck Schumer's statement with regard to all of this, number 31, regarding both North Korea and Iran. This is the, and I want to get Than to comment when we're done. But take a listen to this.
I've just heard the president said he would impose secondary sanctions on European and Asian allies. You're making it harder to go after Hezbollah. You're making it harder to go after Iranian activities that are really dangerous. And you're probably making it harder to come to a North Korea deal.
Yeah, except now we got three Americans released from North Korea. And does anybody think the Europeans are going after Hezbollah and Hamas? I'd like to hear your comments on that one at 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to Chuck Schumer. What's your reaction, Than?
You know what made it harder to go after Hezbollah and Hamas, Jay? It was when the Obama administration gave them a ton of cash and released all sorts of sanctions and unfroze assets to give the largest state sponsor of terror in the world the ability to fund their proxies around the world. That's what made it harder for the United States to go after them. Jay, I would just say he's echoing President Obama's claim that the deal was working. Yeah, it's working so well that virtually every signatory of it admits that it has fatal flaws. That's how well it's working.
And it's working so well that the Iranians, since they got the money released, have increased their military budget by 40%. And who do they take with that military budget? Guess who they fund? Hezbollah and Hamas and others. So there you have it. All right, taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Let's go back to phones. Go to Marcus in San Diego, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's going to be a tongue twister, but they're saying that we're not being holding up to our obligation, but our obligation is being held up by holding them obligated by not doing what we're by doing what we're doing now to hold them accountable.
There's a lot of holds in there, Marcus.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. So, yes, I mean, I think the president's reaction, Harry, to doing this was because he realized, let me play what he said. And this is number 16. I mean, the president speaks for himself here.
After these consultations, it is clear to me that we cannot prevent an Iranian nuclear bomb under the decaying and rotten structure of the current agreement. The Iran deal is defective at its core. If we do nothing, we know exactly what will happen.
So, Harry, the sense there is the president knows the trajectory of this was terrible. This was a nuclear Iran in 8 years.
Absolutely. So if you think about it, we gave them money which they can use in the future to create more nuclear weapons. And we should also note what President Benjamin Netanyahu did last week. He exposed Iranian duplicity. Now, the Obama administration claims that the Iran nuclear deal is grounded in what? Invasive and stringent verification procedures. That is pure nonsense.
That's a fiction.
It is hope on steroids.
Yeah, no, no question. I mean, Netanyahu was very strong on that. But American, everybody, look, they allowed them to self, I keep going back to that, Wes, they allowed them to self-verify. Who in the world believes that is it possibly a good thing with the Ayatollahs?
Yeah, we have known for years that Iran lies, cheats. Prime Minister Netanyahu last week gave us proof that they lie and they cheat. And the thing I think about, Jay, concerning the JCPOA, this agreement, how is it advantageous to any of the parties of the agreement if we say, yes, they're keeping their end of the bargain, the Iranians, when the deal itself is a fallacy, that it's fatally flawed, and it does not keep them from getting a nuclear weapon. It merely postpones it for a while. So to me, it's immaterial whether or not Iran was living up to the agreement. The agreement should have never been put in place.
Yeah, all right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. But here's what we've got. Two significant issues have developed. We've got three Americans released from North Korea, confidence-building measure by the North Koreans, as negotiations get underway in short order between the president and Kim Jong-un. So that's significant. Iran put on notice that the United States is not playing with the lie of a joint comprehensive plan of action. The prime minister of Israel has said also he knew exactly what this deal was. He called it based on lies. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu's own words.
All right. I think we're having a...
Now, we'll come back to that in a moment. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, let me go to you on this. You've got multiple parts of this now that are being played out. Now, you said that the whole situation with Iran's coming down to party lines, correct?
Well, initially, Jay, but I don't think that's going to last. I think there's going to be bipartisan support for this before long, because if you look at the way the foreign policy doctrine is playing out, Jay, you're making positive strides on all different directions. I mean, if you look at the North Korea situation, the strategy there is resulting in, not too far from where I sit, in just a few hours, three American prisoners are returning home. On the Iran side, you're moving from a situation where you know that the largest state sponsor of terror in the world is going to be a nuclear power with certainty in 8 years, to a position where now our allies, Jay, admit the fatal flaws that were in the deal. So I would argue that on all of those fronts, it's moving in a positive direction. I think initially on Capitol Hill, you see a partisan response. You see people on the left wanting to oppose this. But, Jay, I don't think that can last. I think as all of these situations move in a positive direction, there's not going to be much option but for some consensus to build. And actually, I don't think it's going to take that long.
No, I think that's exactly correct. And I think if you look at what's happened here, if you're the Iranian regime right now, what are you thinking, Wes? How are they reacting? I mean, we get their public statements. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... Sanctions from the United States have economic impact.
They do. They do. And interestingly enough, up until the JCPOA was implemented, Jay, the sanctions were working. Their government came very close
almost
to being overthrown because of our economic sanctions. And just as the sanctions were having their maximum effect, what did we do? we relieved the sanctions from them. Part of what has brought Kim Jong-un to the table are sanctions.
Yeah.
They are working, and we have been relentless with the sanctions there, and now they're willing to talk and negotiate. The Iranians were in that same place until we came up with this fatally flawed deal.
So is your sense the same, Harry?
Absolutely. And so while the Obama administration officials, including President Obama himself, laud the Iranian nuclear deal, it's important to know that the economic benefits of this deal have predictably poured into Iranian adventurism. So they have funded proxy wars throughout the region, and they have continued to fund terror. Recently, in Lebanon, the Shiite party, basically aligned with Iran, won. The Iranians support the Syrians. They are threatening Israel as we speak. So what have we gained from the Iranian nuclear deal? We've gained a more powerful Iran. That makes no sense.
I think you have to look at this in the geopolitical. I think what Harry and Wes are saying are right. You got to look at this in the geopolitical sense. Here's what's happening. The president takes a look at the situation and says, you know what? We go down this path. We are now 8 years. I mean, we were saying 10 years. It's now 8 years away from a nuclear Iran. Now, there's nobody in the region that thinks a nuclear Iran is a good thing other than the Iranian regime. Not the Iranian people, the Iranian regime. So what do you do when you're faced with a situation where we're going down a path and that path is leading to a disastrous consequence in the region and geopolitically? You know what you do? You go down a different path. So now we've got a president of the United States that's not afraid to say, you know what? This deal is not good. This is a bad deal. We're getting out of this deal. And when the United States puts sanctions in place, guess what? It has real economic impact. So that's precisely and exactly what's happening right now. Real today, one day later, there will be reactions in Iran. The people of Iran, remember this, are under this Islamic authority. And this is not elected representatives in any true sense of democracy. This is the Iranian revolution. Now you got a president that wants to end that revolution. And let me tell you another thing on this. You talk to the allies in the region. We're going to be talking about this next week on the broadcast. Nobody thought Iran with a nuclear weapon is a good idea. And let me tell you this. Neither the Brits, neither the French, and neither do the Germans. And certainly not the United States. We come back from the break. We're going to take more calls.
That's right. You can give us a call right now. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Periscope, you can get your comments in. We're trying to take a few of those. But that, again, is our phone line, 1-800-684-3110. To have your voice heard today, we'll take as many calls as we possibly can in the next segment. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I just mentioned to our friends watching on social media platforms, our new book, Jerusalem, is out, a biblical historical case for the Jewish capital. You can get it through the Trinity Broadcast Network, TBN, exclusively right now. It'll be out in bookstores later in the year. But you can get an early advance copy, so to speak, at tbn.org, and we encourage you to go there to get the book. All right, we're going to take calls. 800-684-3110. We're talking about North Korea. We're talking about Iran.
All right, let's do it. Let's go first to France. Who's calling in Texas?
So we're talking about Iran. We're talking about North Korea. We've got a caller named France who's calling from Texas. All right, France, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I wanted to make the comment that today, bonjour, je parle un peu de français. That's not all petite. I can say. I had a visceral reaction this morning when I saw what was happening and these men are coming home. It's amazing. I think that there's no way that as an American, you can't look at this regardless of what party you're in and not go, this is phenomenal and it's substantial. And I feel like the timing is really important too. After pulling out of the Iran deal and then having these guys come home, I think we're looking at a president that people are really maybe going to believe what he says. And when he says, don't mess with us, he means it.
Well, I mean, it was interesting, Than, that you had, as the president was announcing the withdrawal from the JCPOA, the so-called Iran nuclear deal, he also said Mike Pompeo was an hour away from landing in North Korea. And then you have this morning, as body politic may be arguing, but the fact of the matter is, you got three Americans coming home right now, and that's a good thing. And you've got the Iranians realizing the United States means business, but you're already seeing the partisan divide, not on the Iranian hostage release, but you got Chuck Schumer made that statement, I don't think this is going to help with the Iran negotiations, while the hostages were being released, by the way. So, I mean, that kind of tells you where this is.
You know what, Jay, though? I think that's a domestic partisan distraction, because if you look at the optic in both of these situations, you have a situation where one country is listening to the president of the United States and moving towards him, and it's moving in the right direction. In the other, you have one that is behaving hostily, and the president of the United States is also doing what he said. So in both cases, he's communicating to the rest of the world that he will do what he says. Yeah, I think the domestic distraction will end.
Yeah, no, that's why I call it the domestic distraction. But let me make something very clear. We're talking about the hostages in North Korea. There are hostages in Iran. By the way, there are Americans in Iran that have not been released yet, and we've been through that one routine before. But again, so we pray for their releases. We pray for everybody that's held captive by these regimes. But again, in North Korea, the release of those Americans, I think, bodes well for the upcoming negotiations. That's part and parcel of a confidence-building measure. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Let's go to Colleen calling in Dallas, Texas, 1-800-684-3110 if you want your voice heard. Go ahead.
Hi, Colleen.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jay.
Yep.
Hey, I'm just going to go a simple question here. How are we backing out if they already have all the money? Isn't it a little late, or how are we going to get the money back?
We're not going to get the money back, but we can put in place crippling economic sanctions, which we are very capable of doing, which includes doing business with Iran. So it wreaks havoc on their economy, and then the people of Iran get, again, the gumption to take down this regime, if that's the view of the majority of the people, which, as you saw in the streets of Tehran not that many years ago and not that many months ago, that is the sense. So when you put economic sanctions in place, we're not going to get the money back, Harry. I think that's important for people to understand. But the going forward aspect of this is very serious.
Absolutely. Along with the president's statement that he is with the Iranian people. So we should make a huge distinction between the Iranian leaders and the Iranian people. President Obama suffered from an illusion. He suffered from an illusion believing that there were moderates within the Iranian regime. Really, there's only one distinction between soft hardliners and brutal hardliners, and the brutal hardliners are in the majority.
Yeah.
President Trump has wisely decided to leave this agreement. This is in the long-term interest of the Iranian people, and so we should restore sanctions immediately.
So the president dealt with the Iranian people issue because, again, these are aimed at really targeting and directed at the Iranian regime. Here's what he said.
Finally,
I want to deliver a message to the long-suffering people of Iran. The people of America stand with you. It has now been almost 40 years since this dictatorship seized power and took a proud nation hostage. Most of Iran's 80 million citizens have sadly never known an Iran that prospered in peace with its neighbors and commanded the admiration of the world.
So, I mean, here's what you've got. I think this, I think what this set out clearly, Than, is that the president, speaking for the American people, said to the people of Iran, we understand the plight you've been under here.
This was really important, Jay. Remember, many of these people that the president was speaking directly to, they were in the streets a matter of months ago. They recognize the direction that their regime is taking. It did not go past them that the millions and billions of dollars of benefit that they got out of this JCPOA were not spent on them. It did not improve their life. It went towards exporting terrorism. And the Iranian citizens, Jay, I mean, I think those protests, those demonstrations showed that they knew what was happening. So I actually thought this was maybe the most important part of the speech, because it clearly spoke directly to the Iranian people that, look, while we have to take action to secure the world and to stop your regime from behaving the way it has, we stand with you. And one of our goals is to keep the Iranian regime from having a nuclear weapon. But, Jay, a second goal of this president is to make sure that the Iranian people have access to the freedom that they so clearly crave.
Yeah, and I think, look, I think this is part and parcel of what has to happen in a situation like this, Wes. I mean, The president said, well, let me play what the president said, because I think it's important. This is the message to the Iranian people.
Great things can happen for Iran, and great things can happen for the peace and stability that we all want in the Middle East. There has been enough suffering, death, and destruction. Let it end now.
So, your reaction to that, Wes? I mean, I think the outreach to the Iranian people, I think, is clear here.
It's very, 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 very important, and it's central to what the president said yesterday. The Iranian people are an educated people. They have a very admirable history. They used to be a free country, and they still long for that freedom. And I think the president reaching out to the average citizen in Iran indicates part of what's going on in this new chapter of diplomacy that the president is instituting.
All right. So, again, I think this is a no question, Harry. Summing it up here at the end of the broadcast, in just, you know, give a 30-second view here, how do you view the significance of what happened yesterday with Iran?
Well, it's very, very important. First, the mullahs had the deal of the century with President Obama, and in exchange, we received a lump of coal. President Trump is now reaching out to the Iranian people, and even the imposition of sanctions is in their long-term interest. And I think it goes a long way to restoring stability in the region.
And Than, what do you think it says politically?
I think politically it tells both sides of the aisle, Jay, that this president will follow through on his actions. If a country behaves positively towards the United States, we will take strides in their direction. If a country behaves hostily to the United States, we will act in a punitive way when necessary.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. A lot more ahead coming up this week, and then next week, a whole series of special broadcasts dealing with the issues in the Middle East, including Israel. We got the opening of the embassy, the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. What a historic day. That's going to be on Monday. So we've got a lot to discuss coming up in the days ahead, and Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged with on a whole host of levels.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting each and every day at ACLJ.org, as well as on our social media outlets. Make sure you're following us and liking us on all social media, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter, and Periscope at Jay Sekulow, and again on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store, and on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, available on iTunes. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACL.